Father, we thank you for this Mothering Sunday and for our mothers, for the influence they had on our lives. We pray that as we open your word before us this morning, you help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. No one is absolutely certain how it began. Some people think that Christians adopted it from a Roman spring festival celebrating Cybele, their mother goddess. During the 16th century, people used to go a-mothering on this Sunday, meaning that they could go back to their mother church, the main church or the cathedral in the area, for a service to be held today. Can you tell me what today is called other than Mothering Sunday? Anybody know? Joan? Refreshment Sunday, yes. And it's, if we were to read the collect, we would be reading the collect for the fourth Sunday in Lent. Mothering Sunday, it changes the date every year because Easter changes, but it's always the fourth Sunday in Lent. In later times, Mothering Sunday became a day when domestic servants, particularly girls, were given the day off to visit their mother church, usually with their own mothers and with members of their family. And it was quite common in those days for children to go to work once they were 10. Put your hands up if you are 10. Okay, so you'd be going off to work now. Thank you. It was often the only time that the whole families could gather together, and on their way home they would pick wild flowers in the highways and byways, and that is thought to be the origination of giving our mothers presents, and particularly flowers, on Mothering Sunday. It could be a long way from the big house where they worked as a servant to your home, and so the housekeeper would allow the cook or the maids to bake a cake, often a simnel cake. Who can tell me what a simnel cake is? Okay, yes? That's right, thank you. It's a fruit cake. It's got marzipan on the inside. It's got marzipan on the outside. And there are 11 balls of marzipan round the top. Now, who likes marzipan? It's one of those Marmite moments, isn't it? You either love it or you hate it. I love it. And I don't think there would have been 11 balls of marzipan on it by the time I got back to my mother, because I'd have wanted to eat it. Do we know what the 11 balls of marzipan signify? 11 apostles. Why only 11, Joan? Because of Judas. They left Judas off because Judas betrayed Jesus. So it's only 11 balls of marzipan. And you can still get simnel cakes today and people still make them. The only thing is that when you carry it home on Mothering Sunday, it has to stay there because you're not allowed to eat it until Easter. And again, I would really struggle with that. Mothering Sunday can be a difficult day for all sorts of reasons. And we here in the church reflect that, and we want to say to you, if today is a hard day for you, that we have you in our hearts and you are kept in our love. One thing that we do have in common that binds us together is that we all had a mother. Being adopted, I had two. And to this day, my husband David is at a loss to know where he went wrong to deserve two mothers-in-law. We were in Tesco on Friday morning, sitting having a cup of coffee, and the people next door to us at the table met a friend who had two presents, obviously for Mothering Sunday. And she said to her friends, "The big ones for my mother, and the little ones for his." The story has it, a couple were going out for the evening, and the last thing they did was to put the cat out. The taxi arrived, and as the couple walked out of the house, the cat shot back in. So the husband goes back inside to chase it out. The wife, not wanting it known that the house would be empty, explained to the taxi driver, "He's just going upstairs to say goodbye to my mother." A few minutes later, the husband got into the taxi, rather breathless, and said, "I'm sorry it took so long. The stupid thing was hiding under the bed and I had to poke her out the coat hanger." Then she ran downstairs and hid behind the sofa, so I coaxed her out with some fish, which enabled me to grab her by the scruff of the neck and throw her in the back garden. Mothers and mothers-in-law, bless them today. And we've heard about two mothers. Joyce read to us about two mothers. And the first mother we read about, Jochebed, we really should have read the very last verse of Exodus chapter 1, but that's sometimes a bit peculiar to do that in a reading. But if we'd read the very last verse of Exodus chapter 1, it would have said that there was an order given for the Hebrew boys to be killed. As a loving mother, she sought to protect her son Moses by hiding him away in a... Anybody listening to the reading? In a basket, that's right. While her daughter kept watch, Pharaoh's daughter found the basket with the baby inside and made a decision to raise the child in the palace. Praise God for the wisdom of his sister Miriam, who quickly offered the support of a Hebrew woman to look after him in his early years. It was, of course, Moses' own mother. And she had given him up to protect him and to invest in his future. God answered Jochebed's prayer and rescued her son, giving her the opportunity to instill great values and principles for life that never left him. What a privilege it is to be able to influence a child. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Moses grew up to be a humble but great leader who would face many challenges but remain faithful to God throughout his life. Our second reading was about another mother called Hannah. She longed for a child without success, and in her desperation, she cried out to God in prayer. In the course of time, Hannah fell pregnant and gave birth to a little boy she named Samuel. Soon after, she took him to the temple to dedicate him there. She said, "I prayed for this child and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And the verse goes on to say, "And he worshipped the Lord there." What an incredible act of love, an enormous sacrifice for a mother who naturally would want to keep her child. The little boy's response was to worship the Lord. What a great example Hannah gave to her son, who would eventually become Israel's prophet. It says that Samuel grew in stature and favor with God and man. Little by little, God was going to increase his capacity and bring him to greater things. It would start by sweeping the floors and trimming the lamps in the temple. It would then go on, grow to hearing God's audible voice and bringing his word to the high priest, anointing kings and judging the nation. Maybe we can relate to these two mothers. We are a family of God, and the children of this family need the investment of parents and of others. Bringing up children today in this world is fraught with difficulties. I am never more surprised than when our grandson, who's 4, and I talked about him in Chiltern. I didn't know he was going to be here this morning, but I saw him creep in. And he said to me the other day, he said, "You want to come up, Ethan? Come and say hello." He said to me, "Grandma, I know something you don't know." I thought, right, I've got to get a lesson here. What is this? "I know something you don't know." I said, "What's that, Ethan? Come and tell them what you said to me." "Here he comes, the fella. Come on then. Do you remember what you said to me when you said, 'Grandma, I know something you don't know'? What did you say?"
"I don't know."
"Zero gravity in space."
"There's no gravity in space."
"No That's right. That's what he told me. There's no gravity in space. In fact, he said to me, it's zero gravity in space, Grandma. So you know what they're learning in school, don't you? Good boy. Go and see Mummy then. Have you treated... I tell you what. Come here, Ethan. What did you give to your Mummy this morning?
Painting on canvas.
A painting on canvas. Now, I have to tell you that his surname is Constable. Good boy, off you go then. Go back to Mummy down there, thank you. My mother made an enormous sacrifice by giving me up to somebody else to raise and to nurture. I was just 9 weeks old when she gave me away because she couldn't afford to bring me up on her own. But one day that investment was rewarded when at the age of 21 I met her and she had the hug that she'd waited 21 years for. What are we doing to influence the next generation to trust in God's faithfulness? Every child needs to be released at the right time. Are we limiting potential by being too protective, or are we trusting God with our children, that little by little they might become all that he wants them to be? Treasure your youth and families worker. I can remember my youth workers and I remember them with great affection because I think if it wasn't for their influence on my life, I might not be standing here this morning. Amen.